Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Monday, January 31st of 2022. And I am your host tonight, the Miracle Man, coming to you from here in Midland, Michigan, where I live. And I am talking a little bit quicker tonight because we had a late start. I apologize for that. We had some certain technical difficulties that are not exactly on my end. No, I called in at the time I'm supposed to call in to do the show. And it said there were no shows scheduled in the next 24 hours. But nonetheless, we got it figured out. And praise God. Praise God, we're live on the air, and it's good to be with you. And that being said, we have a little more of a time limit so that we're done at the normal time. So real brief, what to expect tonight, gonna sing a couple songs, and then we're going to get into the word of the Lord, and then and then of course I'll exhort on it, but then we do have NFL Sunday to talk about, including a huge surprise on the AFC side. A huge surprise. Did that honestly surprise you, the Bengals winning? Did that surprise you? And not just a little bit either, huh? You did not see that one coming, did you? Honestly, in my mind, that was a huge curveball. More on that later, though. And then also, what happened on the NFC side. And so, in other words, the Super Bowl is now set, is all I'm going to say about that. Also, some possible Jim Harbaugh news. Are you a Michigan fan or a State fan or neither? Be honest, are you a Michigan fan or a State fan? What? Oh. But honestly, listeners, I'll also let you know what's going on with the saga of Jim Harbaugh season one. And will he stay in Michigan or will he go into the NFL? And got a little bit of news on that. And we'll discuss that as part of our sports coverage coming up. Before I do any of those things, I want to remind you real quickly. You can go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about our book, Rivers of Miracles. And also, I want to remind you, you can go to PayPal to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program if you would like. I mean, I hope you do. I call you blessed in the name of Jesus. And so got a couple of songs that I want to sing. And then, as I said, we'll get into the word, and then we will go from there. Mm-hmm. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. You are good. Do not wait, you will grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those who need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those who need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. You are the everlasting God, everlasting God. You're the everlasting God. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God, the everlasting God, the everlasting. You're the everlasting God. You are the loving. You do not think you will grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those who need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, it is. Freedom is here. Oh, I believe it. I lift my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Oh, I believe it. Yeah, Jesus is here. Oh, yes, don't you know, Jesus is here. Yes, Jesus is here. Yes, he is. Oh, and I receive it. Yes, Jesus is here. Yes, he is. Jesus is here. Oh, yes. Jesus is here, oh, and I believe it. I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer, I trust in you. I reach my hands to the heavens. I reach my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Oh, yes. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power. And it is your will that my life is healed. Yes, sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. Oh, you are the God of all power. And it is your will that my life is healed. Yes, sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. I reach my hands to the heavens. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Oh, yes. Oh, and I believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on our lives tonight. It's great to serve you. Thank you that your anointing is on us. We have the anointing on our lives to carry through, that you help us as we need your help. We need your anointing in us in these last of the last of the last days. Thank you, Lord God, that your anointing just breaks the yoke. Thank you, Lord God, for your healing presence, your healing power in our bodies, in our minds. Thank you, Lord God, that you are the healer. You're taking away sickness and disease in our bodies. That you are healing cancer, diabetes, heart stuff, things that aren't normal, high and low blood pressure, all this stuff, that you're healing our bodies, healing the blind, healing the deaf, healing our bodies once and for all, strengthening us. And Lord God, that you're also healing our minds, anger, discouragement, depression, oppression, that you're freeing us from all that stuff. Thank you that you're also freeing us from addiction, to whatever it is that we're addicted to, that you're freeing us from it. As you are the fixer. You are the author and perfecter, the finisher of our faith. And I thank you, Lord God, for that. In Jesus' matchless name. And I thank you for all these listeners tuned in, that you minister to them and just help them with whatever they need help with. Every listener tuned into this program represents a need. And I thank you that you meet all of these needs that are represented here tonight. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you're with us, helping us as we need. And thank you that you use me tonight to deliver this word, your word. And that your word would just go forth with boldness and simplicity. And that they would receive what you want them to receive from your word tonight. And now I make my confession over this program. I say that sponsors and partners come into this program, increases in listenership come into this program, finances come into this program. Most importantly of all, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom, oh Lord, as a result of this great Miracle Man program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen and amen and amen. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Praise God, Acts 20. And we will see. What all the Lord has for us tonight. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. We're good on time, so we're good there. Sorry about that. I was just making sure because I cut some storm errors out, and so I see we're good on time. So Acts 20, verse 1. When the uproar had ended, what we had read about in chapter 19 the other day, folks, when the uproar had ended, Paul sent for the disciples and, after encouraging them, said goodbye and set out for Macedonia. He traveled through the area, speaking many words of encouragement to the people. And finally, he arrived in Greece, where he stayed for 3 months. Because the Jews made a plot against him, just as he was about to sail for Syria, he decided to go back through Macedonia. He was accompanied by Sopater, son of Perhus, from Berea, Eurycarcus, and Secundus from Thessalonica, Gaius from Derbe, Timothy also, and Tychicus and Trophimus from the province of Asia. These men went on ahead and waited for us at Troas. But we sailed from Philippi after the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and 5 days later joined the others at Troas, where we stayed for 7 days. Verse 7, on the first day of the week, we came together to break bread. Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. He kept on preaching until midnight.
Wow, really?
No, I just did that for effect. We'll try that again without all that. This is on the first day of the week he came together to break bread. And Paul spoke to the people, and because he intended to leave the next day, he kept on talking until midnight. And there were many lamps in the upstairs room where we were meeting. Seated in a window was a young man named Tychicus, who was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. When he was sound asleep, he fell to the ground from the third story and was picked up dead. Paul went down, threw himself on the young man, put his arms around him. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "He is alive." Then he went back upstairs again and broke bread and ate. After talking until daylight, he left. The people took the young man home alive and were greatly comforted. We went on ahead to the ship and sailed for Assos, where we were going to take Paul aboard. He had made this arrangement because he was going there on foot. When he met us at Assos, we took him aboard and went on to Mytilene. The next day, we set sail from there, and we arrived off of Chios. The day after that, we crossed over to Samos, and on the following day, we arrived at Miletus. Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus to avoid spending time in the province of Asia, for he was in a hurry to reach Jerusalem, if possible, by the day of Pentecost. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came, into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears, although I was," turn the page, "although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you. But I have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem. And I'm going to Jerusalem not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me, if only I may finish the race, and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying by the gospel of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of all men. I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you, and you will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and will distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and of the word of grace, which can build you up and give you inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not prevented coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs for the needs of my companions. And everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. We must help the weak. Remembering the words that the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed, it is better to give than to receive. When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was the statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship. So, what you see there is Paul was giving his farewell speech to a certain group of people. But he wasn't necessarily saying, I'll never speak to anyone again. I'll never write anything again. I'll never. Because Paul was used by God as an apostle to write some of the books later on in the New Testament. So Paul's ministry had shifted from preacher to writer. You see, he was then going to become an author who wrote some of the biblical books. But what you had first was a person who had fallen. He was seated in a window. This young man, seated on basically a window ledge, you could say. He fell down three stories at about midnight when Paul had been preaching. Because the next day he was going to leave to go to Jerusalem. So he was intent on just speaking for as long as possible. And first it was going to be to break bread. So he goes down to get that young man, has him raised from the dead, goes back up there, and then keeps talking, keeps preaching until daybreak. That's a long service, if you ask me, listeners. That is one long church service. And folks, I don't know what time they started. Doesn't say. But I'm going to guess, I don't know, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 6 o'clock, somewhere in there. Hey, one time I was at church and it went until 2 a.m. Now, this was at a conference and it went to like maybe 1 o'clock, 1:15, something like that, literally. Listeners, I'm not making that up. And I know there was a guest speaker who had came up first and had taught to like 9:15 or so. Remember, he had said it's only 9:15. And then somewhere in there, I fell asleep. Didn't wake up till a while later. And then somehow I found out it was 1 o'clock. And then a bit after that, the service, which was just a wild thing to me. But now my pastor just quits whenever God tells him to quit, which I think is why these days, if you're at a Holy Spirit conference, it never goes past 11 o'clock. Ever. And really even goes to 10 anymore either. Nonetheless, when I think of Paul, I think of Paul as a man who was very bold in his delivery. God was using him as a preacher. God was using him. And he would go to certain places, and at times he would stay there for months or years. And he'd be there literally. He wouldn't just go somewhere. He wouldn't always just go somewhere and stay there for, like, you know, a day, 2 days, 3 days. No. Sometimes he would stay there for months. And I wouldn't say he was always preaching when he was there necessarily. I'm sure there was days, and even maybe, you know, but I'm sure in some of that there was some preaching, but also he would help people with their needs and all these different things that he would do. I mean, that these people would have need of. And you see, the church of Antioch was where Paul had been sent out from, was the church of Antioch. Now, Paul, as I've told you multiple times, had previously been Saul. And was a persecutor. He had been that guy that was had previously been known for persecuting Jesus all the time. And Jesus would say, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And then that lightning bolt had hit him, and then. But you can't think of the book of Acts, at least the middle of the book of Acts, at least, without thinking about Paul. And even later, what we're going to get into a bit later in a couple of days, you'll have, like Acts 27, with the ship, you'll have Paul there. And so, he is just an amazing story. And later on in the speech, he admitted that every different city he went to, he faced, you know, threats. And he had to hear from the Holy Spirit how to deal with them. And yes, he had been thrown in prison with Silas that one time. But then he had been freed from that. Like what had happened with Peter. Earlier in the book of Acts, you had Peter being set free from prison. And Paul and Peter were two of the apostles that helped write many of the later books after X. Of course, there was Timothy as well. Titus. James. 1, 2, and 3 John. Jude. You know, and all those different ones. And then Peter Pod wrote books like, you know, the Galatians, the Philippians, the Romans, you know, the Corinthians, the Colossians, to the Philippians, the Ephesians, and Thessalonians, all these different groups of people. Of course, all those books are for us as well, but God used Peter to write those. And of course, Paul had such a great testimony. Because he had went from being a persecutor to a writer. So when we go through life as Christians, people should know us, like what we are. They should see us. Should be able to tell who we are. Paul, because, you know, many times he would face persecution. Yeah, he did. He faced all kinds of different persecution and threats and what have you. I'm not saying, oh, I hope we all get persecuted. I hope we all get... No, no, no. No evil shall befall us. No plague shall come in our dwelling. But, you see, Paul there were people that did not like him and were not afraid to let it known that they didn't just kind of not like him. They truly did not like him at all and wanted him out. But even in this book, even in that chapter that I read, he said that to him his life, that it was more worth it for him to be doing what God called him to do and that it wasn't about him. So, folks, what's more important to you, listeners? Is it Jesus or is it your life? Is it Jesus or is it your life? Think about it. Jesus said, whoever loves his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And I like to say, and he will have life eternally with Jesus. Eternal life. In other words, everlasting life. And so, what's more important to you? Church attendance or something else? let me explain. One is church night. Is it more important for you to be at church, or is there something else going on in your life that's more important to you than God? What time? What did you say? What did you say?
Oh, it's definitely about planning.
Never mind about that. Never mind about that. But listen, but anyhow, listeners, so you just got to look at yourself. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me, listeners. I'm just asking the question, you to yourself, you, God. But other things I'm like, is he your first love? Is Jesus your first love? Or does something else grab your attention more so? And if there is something else, what is it? Because the truth of the matter is, listeners, he should be your first love. Because of like what I had said, that verse I quoted you, whoever loves his life loses it. Whoever loses his life for my sake finds it and lives eternally with Jesus in heaven. And so that's why we all just have to ask ourselves that question and make sure that we're right with God. And so just for each person to examine. I can't do it for you. And you shouldn't be doing it. You can't do it for me either, because the Bible says for each one to examine himself and the holy things. And so I love you. I want to see you make heaven. I really do. I care about you. I care about your soul. And so just wanted to exhort you on that. And so tomorrow night when I come back, we will continue on the Book of Acts. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight, that we, for this Book of Acts teaching. Thank you, Lord God, that for all the different ways that you've used Paul. And I thank you, Lord God, that just as it was with Paul and those other apostles of the Book of Acts, so it will be for us as your believers. We may not be Peter or Paul, but we're believers. And I thank you, Lord God, that we would truly believe and truly seek you like those believers in Acts did. Thank you, Lord God, for that. In Jesus' name. Now, something I want to mention to you that I didn't mention to you at the start, because we started late due to that technical difficulty, and that is that not this next week, not the week after, but the week after that. So in 2.5 weeks, I'll be going to Florida. Monday the 21st, Tuesday the 22nd, Wednesday the 23rd, I will be in Florida. However, I do plan to do
one to two episodes that probably won't necessarily be full length, but might give you a word of encouragement through those and kind of let you know how things are going. But they won't necessarily be full length because I love y'all, but it's been cold here, and it's time to – I'm ready to take some time. Nothing wrong with you guys, but got to enjoy the time in Florida. Hopefully I can find a way to do it, maybe live from the beach, maybe live from porch at the hotel by the pool, maybe. I don't know. Just kind of letting you know so that there are no surprises. So the other thing I want to mention to you is Mark T. Barclay's Holy Spirit Conference in California this week. Keep it in your prayer. If you want to tune in, you can join online starting tomorrow night at 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. Eastern, because like I said, it is in California. What will happen is I'll be streaming it later. Chances are I'll only watch a little bit of it when it starts, and then I'll go to sleep. And then maybe the next day or something, I'll watch the night. And then over the course of time, I'll get caught up with the mornings. So you can stream it how you want. If you want to stream it, keep Dr. Barclay and the team in your prayers. Just wanted to make sure that I let you know about those things, which I did not do that earlier because I wanted to get right into the thick of the schedule that I try to keep on the show as far as in terms of sports and in the world of the NFL, you had the Bengals upsetting the Chiefs 27-24. And let me tell you something about all three of these Bengals games in the playoffs. The first game, when they were playing the Raiders, they had to come back from quite a ways down in order to beat the Raiders. In Tennessee, they had done a good job, but then towards the end, Tennessee was getting feisty, and the Bengals had to stop them. This last game, yesterday, at one point they were down 20-3. But then it ended thanks to, in overtime, Patrick Mahomes throws a pick. Cincinnati has the ball, drives down the field. Joe Perreault making a difference. They kick a field goal, and it's good. 27-24. Bengals going to Super Bowl 56 in Los Angeles. First Super Bowl win. No, first Super Bowl for them since 1988. Bengals have never won a Super Bowl. Never. It was the fourth time in a row that the Chiefs had hosted the AFC Championship game, which is a record. The Chiefs won two of those and lost the other two. NFC. The Rams came back from 10 points down, but they ended up beating the 49ers 20-17 at home. At one point, the Rams were down 17-7. But you got Matthew Stafford driving them down the field. And then at the end, near the end, they had a field goal, and they won it. Think about it. Both of these games were won on comebacks and field goals. One of those games the previous week was won the same way. And another game was almost won the same way by the Bucks and Tom Brady. But for the Rams, they are going to be in their building for the Super Bowl. This is the second time in a row and the second time ever that a team will be in their own stadium to play the Super Bowl. The league did not do this. It just happened to be that those would be the teams that would make the Super Bowls. And so it's not like a new thing that's going to happen every year now. No, it's not. So next year, wherever it's going to be, I don't know, New Orleans, I'll have to look. I'll let you know tomorrow where it's going to be. But nonetheless, the Super Bowl is set. And I can tell you that SoFi Stadium was going nutso last night near the end. Nutso. That had to be one of the top five loudest stadiums I had heard. And think about this. For Matthew Stafford, for first year as the quarterback of the Los Angeles Rams, and they go to the Super Bowl. And I know there were people talking to me, people that I knew of telling me this is that the Rams are probably going to make the Super Bowl. In my mind, I honestly thought that was going to be the Bucks again. But I would have said the Rams were number two in line. And sure enough, they were. This is the lowest seeded Super Bowl ever. I'm serious. Because the Rams are not the one seed. We're not the one seed. That was the Pack. They were not the two seed. That was the Bucks. They were the three seed. And the Chiefs. No. Excuse me, not the Chiefs, the Bengals. They were not the one seed. That was Tennessee. They were not the two seed. Kansas City. They were not the three seed. Buffalo was. They were either the four or the five seed. I forget what. But they were one of those. In other words, they were rather low seed out of the seven teams from either side. None of the one or two seeds made it to the Super Bowl. And now the Rams with Matthew Stafford get to play for a Super Bowl in their own house, SoFi Stadium,
February 13th. And some of you, some of these Lions fans that might be listening to the show going, oh, Stafford's a traitor. Well, part of that has to do with the ownership in Detroit, some of the coaching, management. Blame it on all of them. We're not getting, you know, different receivers. No, maybe not just different receivers, but good protection for Stafford. And we also could have better defense to help, too. Because then we could have got some more wins, and Stafford could have been in some meaningful playoff games and winning them before this. Because now they're doing it. They're getting it done. They're doing the things they have to do to win these ball games. And so props to the Rams, props to Stafford. I'm happy for him. I really am. Now, let's talk about the story. Oh, sorry about that. It got extended. I see what we did there, but we'll wrap it up in a couple of minutes. Look at this, listeners. We also have the saga of Jim Harbaugh. Will he stay or will he go? Well, he will decide. I do not know. That's kind of a little poem there that I just came up with on the fly. So what we have going on here is he had an interview with the Minnesota Vikings, who fired former coach Mike Zimmer. So now they're looking for head coach. Apparently he had some interest. But the question becomes, will he sign that deal with Michigan? Or will he go to Minnesota to take the Vikings job? To be honest with you, listeners, I don't know what choice he's going to make. Earlier, it was looking like, you know, a week ago, 2 weeks ago, if you had asked me, and a lot of media people were thinking the same thing. I mean, a lot of different people, you know, the organization were thinking the same thing. Many of us were thinking Harbaugh will most likely stay in Michigan. I fixed it, so how about that? But many of us listeners were thinking Coach Jim Harbaugh will likely stay at Michigan. But now with this Minnesota thing, that kind of adds to the saga. That kind of adds to the story. So that's why I had to come up with a little thing, that little intro of, you know, will he stay, will he go? So something that I even thought was basically for certain, basically sealed for the most part, has now become a saga. Not knowing will he stay or will he go. We may find out in the next few days or in the next week. Depending on his interest level, he might be going to Minnesota to look at their facility. That first meeting was just an online thing. Yeah. Will what he does in Minnesota give me more an idea? whether he goes to Minnesota to meet with them or not. If he goes to Minnesota to take a look, that won't necessarily seal it. That he'll go to Minnesota necessarily. But what it'll tell me is that he has interest. If he decides not to go to Minneapolis and look at those facilities, it will basically tell me, at least in theory, that he wants to stay at Michigan. And he's done a lot of good things, short of, and he accomplished so much this year that he hadn't gotten to accomplish before. Folks, he beat Wisconsin and Penn State on the road. Difficult things to do. Folks, he beat the best team in the Big Ten, that team to the south. He beat them convincingly, 42-27. And if this was his last year in Michigan, we can say he won out having the best year he could have. I mean, the best year that he had as the Michigan coach. And a great way to bounce back after a 2-4 season in 2020. And so, and people were trashing him for a while. Now, he is a man that I respect more than what I have before. And he's a great coach. Wish him the best of I wish him the best of luck, which whatever his decision is. And I'm confident that Michigan will make a great choice for whoever replaces him. And I think they'll be in good hands. They just gotta have the results on the field, win the games. Win the big games that they have to win. The schedule on paper is a bit easier this next year than what it was last year. So hopefully this means maybe they'll go undefeated. But the toughest thing they might have to do might be to go down to the Horse Farm. I don't even want to say Columbus or Horseshoe. I don't know why. Wow. Maybe because I believe Michigan could do it again. But if they can actually do that, maybe they could go on the beat. But it'll depend on the rest of the Big Ten. We'll have to beat Iowa. Well, I think we have to play Iowa. And that will be difficult, too. So, folks, till next time, tomorrow night. By the way, tomorrow night we'll be back to normal time, 6:30 to 8. And so, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.